Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We trust in you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It is God's will to heal his people. And this morning, I want us to receive that healing through the power of praise. Will you praise him? Thank him for healing right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name. We bless you. We thank you for the healing power. Thank you, Lord, for the physical needs that are met here today. Thank you for the emotional needs, the spiritual needs, the financial needs. Lord, thank you for every need, every circumstance. In the name of Jesus, we claim healing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. The effectual, fervent prayer of righteous men and women will, shall avail much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bring that petition to you in the name of Jesus today. We trust you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If we believe that with all of our heart, we should be praising him. We should be thanking him. We should be praising and honoring him, thanking him for the manifest power of his Holy Spirit, for his manifest presence, and Lord, for the manifest of his healing that we will see in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We worship you from the bottom of our hearts. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for being a faithful God, a loving God, a compassionate God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our kind, loving Father, there is no name whereby men can be saved. His name is Jesus. Jesus, you suffered and you died that I might be buried with you and resurrect with you. Lord, we are the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And we have every promise in that book that is given to each of us today. And our desire is, Lord, that we would see those promises fulfilled in our lives as we're obedient to you. I pray, God, that you would purify our hearts today. Lord, take the clutter out of our minds. Clear our thoughts. Lord, help us to be focused upon your word today. Help us to be focused upon your promise that you've made today. That you will never, ever leave us. You will never forsake your children. That you're always with us. That you'll go with us even to the end of the age. Lord, you're always faithful. And you're always true. Lord, you cannot fail us. You have never failed us in the past, and you will not fail us in the future. Because you're a faithful God. You're a just God. You're a holy God. Lord, we stand on your word today. Lord, that you will justify, that you will heal, that you will cleanse, that you will purify. We stand on your promise today that your word is alive. Hallelujah. And it's within our hearts. It's within our life. Lord, we pray that you would help us to live out your truths. Let the word penetrate our heart today. Let it penetrate our minds. And when we leave this place of worship, Lord, we will truly be healed by the power of Jesus Christ in every facet of our life, in every detail of our lives, Lord. We give you every corner of our life. We give you, Lord, the authority to be the King and the Lord of our life. We pray this in Jesus' name, and we honor you. Above all else, Lord, there is no one else to worship today than the Lord Jesus Christ. You're our Savior. You're our Lord. You're our Master. You're all we need today. And we recognize that in Jesus' name. And so we close this time of prayer with you, Lord, in an attitude of worship and praise. And we honor you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, you're worthy of all praise. Thank you, Jesus. We pray all this in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Love on somebody before you're seated.
Okay, so I just wanted to share this. This honestly is how awesome God is. So I know I'd given my testimony here a few years ago, and I know it amounted to me not having the joy of the Lord. And a month ago, I was in a very, very dark area of my life. And in all honesty, I had to make a choice. And my choice was either to live or to die. There was never such a lonely, desperate place I have ever been. And God is so good. Because I cried out to him, and even when I felt that no one was there, and I felt that everyone had abandoned me, God was there, and he reminded me that he loves me with an everlasting love, and that he forgives me as far as the east is from the west. All I have to do is ask. And he laid it upon my heart, you know, to just, honestly, to fall completely in love with him. He said, I never did that before. But I wanted to say that because from my situation that I've been, I'm not crying because of what I did. I am crying and so emotional because of how much God loves me and how I am so thankful that he's never gave up on me, that I am the apple of his eye, that he knows me from the inside out. And I'm amazed by his love. I really am. His love is awesome. And that power that we sing about, I'm going to be honest, there is a power. And it's God's power. and it's the greatest power there is.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Kathy Jo, we're honored that you're with us today. We've been praying for you, and God's answers prayer. Amen. That perfect goes right along with our message today. You need to hear what God's saying to you today. We're going to let the kids go. Have a great time while they're going. We're going to turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. If you're visiting with us, thank you for being here. We're honored that you're at Everett Assembly of God. God's good. He's gracious. He's a loving God. And we just want you to know that if you're here more than once, you're no longer a visitor, right? You're no longer a guest. You're part of us. Thank you so much for being here. Colossians chapter 2, would you stand please in reading the word? I'm reading from verses 1 to 3 and verse 6. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Reading verse 6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Father, your word has already been anointed. We ask that you would anoint your servant. And we ask in the name of Jesus that your anointing would continue through this service. And that, Lord, your anointing would go beyond these walls. And the power of the Spirit, Lord, would rest on each of us. That your anointing and your power in our lives would demonstrate to others that there is a God in heaven, hallelujah, that loves us and that we are walking in His steps, in His righteousness, in His purity, in His holiness. Thank you, Jesus, for the privilege that we have to be children of God. Bless your word in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody, you're stepping in God's love. I'm going to preach something this morning that's really different. Something that you might say I've heard 1,000 times. Good. I hope you hear it enough. 1,001 times. And maybe more than that. I really believe with all my heart that this passage is a very powerful truth in our understanding of our stepping into God's very, very best for our life. Paul did not want Christians to miss God's best. When Paul says, I want you to know how much I am struggling, right in our text, how much you are struggling, he's saying, I wish I could sit down with you face to face. I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss the treasures, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. I want you to see who He really is. When we become a believer, we step into God's treasure. We step into the power of the Holy Spirit when He saves us. But wouldn't it be a tragedy if you knew Christ and didn't know what you have in Him? Wouldn't it be a tragedy to step in the power of God's love and grace in your life and still not even know what you have? That's why I want to speak to you this morning. The South African diamond mines are the richest diamond mines, they say, in the world. Do you know how they were discovered? They were discovered because boys were playing marbles with shiny rocks. Those shiny rocks were diamonds. They were playing with incredible wealth. I wonder if there are some of us who are playing marbles with diamonds. We don't understand what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe. You know, and the key that unlocks the passage of Scripture in this passage is verse 6. We are going to zero in on that verse this morning. That is so powerful and mighty. Would you please look at that verse again? Either up there on the front, and I want you to say it out loud together with me. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to what? Live in Him. Powerful, powerful verse of Scripture. Now, the way to know these treasures of wisdom and knowledge is to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. You expect Paul to say something very complicated here. You know, Paul was very brilliant, but you know, he doesn't say something complicated. It's very basic. And you know, every now and then we hear a preacher preach and somebody will say something like, well, you know, he really must be intelligent. I didn't understand a word he said. Did you ever hear that kind of stuff? Just because the river is muddy doesn't mean it's deep, by the way. Take my word for it. I live along the river and it's muddy a lot. It's not very deep. He is talking about something that we all understand. We see the faith. We see the reality. It is so high that you can't get up to it. It's so high that you can't. There's so many people, they think it's so high, I can't reach it. And as a matter of fact, sometimes it's so simple that people never get down to the basics, to the reality of it. A wise person said that the Scriptures are shallow enough that little children can get a drink from it and never fear of drowning. But then the Scriptures are so deep that scholars can swim and never ever reach the bottom. That's the Word of God. It's simple and yet very profound. The devil doesn't want you to learn it. Look at verse 4. Paul says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine sounding arguments. The devil wants you to listen to those arguments. Then in verse 8 he says, see to it that no one takes your captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition, basic principles of this world, rather than in Jesus Christ. It's so easy for us to get wrapped up in the deception of the world. Satan is a smooth talker, and he doesn't want you to understand what I'm going to try to teach you this morning. A matter of fact, some of you are going to need to be careful. You might have to slap yourself in the face. You might have to stop sleeping. You might have to just wake up and say, I need to be focused on what's being said here. Because Satan will try to distract you and to keep you from hearing his word. Now remember, Paul talks about treasures here. I want you to understand that this morning. He talks about how we have these riches and treasures in verse 3. And then in verse 6, he comes to the word so. If you have the King James, it says therefore. This is what I want you to listen to. So, or therefore, is linked to the previous 5 verses of Scripture. There's a reason therefore is used. You've been around long enough to know when the Bible says therefore, you got to stop and think, what's it there for? He is trying to say something that is significant and important. We're going to get very practical, but yet, therefore, now you are to live in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't say walk with Him. It doesn't say follow after Him. It says, live in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is extremely significant. It sounds strange. It almost sounds awkward because how do you live in a person? You can't live in a person. Remember, Paul says, now you listen to me. I have a struggle for those of you that are in Colossae. I have a struggle for you, for those of you that are in Laodicea. I am really concerned that you might miss it. There's a conflict here at Laodicea and Colossae. There's a conflict here at EAG, Everett Assembly of God. There's a conflict. The enemy is trying to get us away from stepping into the power of God, stepping into the will of God, the purposes of God, the knowledge of God, the treasures of God, all of those things that are ours in abundance. Somebody say amen. I have a struggle in my heart sometimes. So we're going to talk about living in the Lord. I'm going to give you three simple things about our faith walk and how our faith as we walk and step into the Lord. Number one is the boundaries of the faith walk. Look at verse 6 again. Again, what does it say? What does he say? So then, just as you've received what? Just as you've received what? Just as you've received what? Right, Christ Jesus as your what? Lord, continue to what? Live in him. Oh, wow, that's powerful. Jesus Christ is the boundaries of our life. Now, if I were to tell you that I want you to walk within the boundaries of this building, that means you're only going to go so far. We don't have a basement. We don't have a second floor. You go out there to the fellowship hall, the kitchen. You go out here, go out to the hall, make a right, go down the long hall and come back and just kind of walk in here. Then you're within those boundaries of your walking in that building. That means you're not going to get outside of this building. This building is going to be an element of where you're at. It's the boundaries of where you're at. It's your atmosphere. You're going to get a certain feeling, a certain atmosphere of your walk. Now, what does that mean spiritually? Jesus Christ is to be the boundaries of your life. The boundaries of your life. Spiritually, you are to be closed into him and his will, and that's it. Hello. Period. That's it. You're to walk in Jesus. He is your boundary. Now, if you are a person who is very selfish, if you are not a spiritual person, the first thing that comes to your mind is you think the Lord Jesus Christ, those boundaries, that circumference in my life, I don't want anything to do with it. That's too narrow-minded. To be a Christian, to be a believer, to trust in Jesus, I have to stay within those boundaries. Sorry, I'm not going to be hemmed in. Well, if you think that is dull, go back to verses 2 and 3. My purpose is that you may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that they may have the full riches of God's complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures and all the knowledge that is found anywhere on the universe. Can you imagine that? Look, that's powerful. Those two verses are absolutely phenomenal. Now you call them hemmed in? No, that has given us a broad understanding and knowledge of who God is. That'd be like a minnow in the Atlantic Ocean. You never exhaust it. You are to live in the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil does not want you to understand. Now, what God wants you to understand is he is absolutely perfect and has everything in the face of this earth for you, the knowledge, the mercy, the love, the grace, whatever it is you need, God has it. Absolutely nothing worth outside of Jesus Christ. I said something just a few days ago, how my wife and my I don't know how many people I've told us, I could care less about anything. I don't care about, all I care about is Jesus. Nothing in this world is attracting me at all. And if you're not careful, you can get out of those bounds and get outside the element that you are supposed to walk in. Now, how does God keep you in bounds? How do you know when you get outside those boundaries? The Holy Spirit is your referee. He is your ruler, your heart to tell you when you are out of bounds. Colossians 3, look at verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. The word rule there is actually translated the word referee. Referee in your hearts. So that's the way God keeps you in bounds. Seth, come here. Bring your basketball with you. Seth is our basketball player. Come on, Seth, hurry up. Let's go. Come on. Hustle, hustle, hustle. Where's our referee? Come on, come on. Get that whistle on. Make sure that whistle's on. All right. Seth, you are a basketball player. Out of bounds is that chair. You understand that. Am I clear? You understand. You touch those chairs, you're out of bounds, buddy. You come up, you can come all the way up to here, but as soon as you get up to here, you're out of bounds. And you get over here where I'm at, you're out of bounds. You understand? You can bounce the ball if you like. The referee, get over here. All right, the rest of you, you're the devil, the world, and the flesh. I want you to talk him out of getting outside of those bounds. Will you do it? Yell at him. Scream at him. Do something. Tell him to get out of there. Right? You're not doing a very good job. You were out of bounds. You stepped out of bounds. That right here, who was that? Mrs. Wiley just about, she destroyed you. Why are you listening to that? Okay, try it again. Up. No. Okay. Hey, get. You don't listen very well. Hey. Yeah, come here. Let me show you how to do it. Come over here. You see how easy it was for me to get him to come over to me? Did you see that? Ho. I'm the leader. I'm telling you, come over here a minute. That's the second time he listened to me. Why are you listening to me?
You're my leader.
No excuse. Great job, guys. Thank you. All right. Now, I hope you're getting this. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. Listen to me carefully. Now, that's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. When you're walking in the Spirit, I mean when you are in Christ and He is the boundary of your life, you will not step over. You can say all you want to. You can talk all you want to. But if you're in Jesus Christ and He is your leader and your purpose, no other voices will be able to deter you. Seth needs to learn that. I thought he was a great basketball player. Should add you up here. I know you play. Anybody else play basketball? Oh, yes. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I already picked Seth before church. You see, you understand. He's the boundary in your life. And when the world or the flesh or the devil allures you, you don't have to go because there's nothing out there you need. Did you hear me? There's nothing else you need in the world. And as long as you are in Christ, living in Christ, it's a wonderful protection that you have. He had put you boundaries around you for a purpose, for a reason, so that you can learn and grow and develop and mature. The boundary of your walk with Jesus Christ is powerful. The boundaries like the invisible fence that dogs have. Anybody here have a dog with a visible fence around their property, and you had to put flags up or wires when you first get the dog or when you first get the fence, and the dog gets shocked, and then you take the wires out and you take all the flags that are there, at least the ones I've known, and all of a sudden the dog can go barking and he can run all the way to the edge, but he knows he's going to get shocked if he crosses that. So the person to the mailman that he wants to bite, he can't bite. Because he's stopped. There's a spiritual fence around all of us. And if we are walking in the Spirit, we'll know when we are out of bounds. The Holy Spirit will blow his whistle.
Amen.
He will blow his whistle. And if God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't blow the whistle, maybe it's because you're not saved. Maybe it's because you're not listening. Maybe it's because you just refuse to understand where you are in the Lord. You need to be sensitive to the Spirit. And the only way you can be sensitive to that Spirit is to stay in Jesus Christ. He is everything to you. He is all you need. Number two. There's the beginning of the faith walk. How do you begin your walk of faith? You begin your walk as you receive Christ and you take the first step. Oh, now that's a no-brainer, right? The journey of thousands of miles begins with a step, but it doesn't end there. You are to receive Jesus. Look at verse 6 again. You are to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, this personal encounter with Jesus, it's not just some truth, it's not just some doctrine, it's not some denomination. As you have received Christ, Christianity has a creed, it has a code, it has a cause, it has a church, but it's none of those things. It's Jesus Christ. Hello. Lay aside the denominations. Lay aside the creeds. Lay aside all man-made ideas of what they think Christianity is. It's all a bunch of religion. Church buildings are filled with moral people who have joined the church and had an experience with religion, have gone through a ritual and subscribed to beliefs, but have never met Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. They've gone to church all their life. So what does it mean? You say, I don't understand. You know, I thought I believed right. I'm saved if I believe the plan of salvation. No. You can believe the plan of salvation all you want. The plan of salvation doesn't save you. The man of salvation saves you. Amen. Did you hear what I said? The plan of salvation doesn't save you. The man of salvation saves you. Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says you've received Jesus Christ. You've received the man. You see, there are a lot of people that are going to go to hell that believe in the plan. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it again. There's a lot of people going to hell that believe in the plan. You see, you received Jesus Christ. A woman went to church. She gave this testimony. She said, boy, in Sunday school class, man, they were talking about attendance. They were talking about functions. They were talking about programs. They were talking about all kinds of seminars and socials and all the stuff that we do. And she said, man, I loved it. And then she said, something happened. My teacher began to talk about Jesus. And she couldn't shut up. And all she did was talk about Jesus. I couldn't relate to it. And finally, this woman ended up receiving Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Because somebody was bold enough to talk about Jesus. Now, as you have received the Lord Jesus, does he have absolute control of your life? Can I say it? Don't listen to Seth, because he didn't have complete control of his life. He listened to me. He listened to you. I mean, my God. Seth has a lot to learn. He's a good brother. He's a great guy. Thank you for playing the part. I really am convinced of this. Are you willing to serve Jesus Christ and Him alone? Is He the Master and the Lord? You see, because the second truth here is that we continue our walk as we live in the boundaries that is worthy of the Lord. Look at verse 10 in Colossians chapter 1. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. You're growing in the knowledge of God. When you leave this place, is your life going to be worthy? Is it going to be a worthy life? As you go, are you going to be representing Jesus Christ? Are you going to be representing EAG? And that the EAG actually represents Jesus Christ? You're going to live and walk worthy. Now, don't get the idea that there are some people who are supposed to be holier than others. Our deacons are no different than you are. We all have to come through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are live and walk worthy of the Lord. We receive the Lord. I love Bonnie more than I did when I married her. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad? But when I married her, I didn't get married to a religion. I didn't get the marriage religion. I got Bonnie. Hello. When I got saved, I didn't get the religion of church. I didn't get the religion of faithful attendance to church. I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't give it to religion. Does that make sense? Let's say it together. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to what? Live in Him. Can you honestly say, I have opened my heart, I've received Christ, I have taken myself off the throne, I put Christ on the throne of my life. That's the beginning of my first step as a Christian, is I put my first step, my front foot forward, my next step forward, and I believe and I trust in what Jesus Christ is saying to me. This is what baptism's about. Those of you that may not have been baptized yet, you need to be baptized if you're born again. In Colossians 2:12, having been buried with Him in baptism and raised Him through your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. When you give your heart to Jesus Christ, He baptizes you. He immerses you underwater. There's a liquid tomb. Let me tell you something. There was a funeral tomb. You have been buried. Hallelujah. There was a funeral service. And the only one that's grieving and mourning is the devil. I wish somebody would say amen to agree with me. I feel better when you say that. You're buried with the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, you died when He died on the cross. You and I both were buried when He was buried. And when He rose from the dead, hallelujah, we rose from the dead. That means that there is a new life. He is the Lord. Did you know that Jesus called Savior 24 times in the New Testament? You know how many times He's called Lord in the New Testament? 434 times. Did you know that very rarely, especially after the resurrection, He was no longer called Jesus, He was called Lord Jesus. Now that's the beginning of the walk. That's the boundary of the walk, is Jesus. The Holy Spirit will blow the whistle when you are out of bounds. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Listen carefully. When you're saying something, watching something, doing something, and you lose your peace, you are out of bounds. Hello, do I have to say this to Christians? When you lose your peace and your sense of direction and your misunderstanding and your beginning, and when you sin and you know you're sinning and you know you're not doing the will of God, let me tell you something. You're not going to have the peace of God, and the whistle's going to blow, and you need to be willing to listen and hear it, but you can't hear it if you keep going outside the bounds. Because it will destroy you. You will sear your conscience. Oh my goodness. How does He blow the whistle? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. When you're saying something, you're watching something, doing something, the Holy Spirit of God says, you know what? Knock it off. Knock it off. Repent and step back in and play the game the way it's to be played. Somebody say amen. Here's the final one. The balance of your faith walk. The balance of your faith walk. We continue a life of faith and repentance. There's two things that have to happen when you get saved. Faith and repentance. You can't have one without the other. They must work together. Look at Colossians 2:6 again. In the Greek language, it literally means the verb, listen to it, to keep on living. Or if you have a King James, it says keep on walking. The better translation is really living. You keep on living. You keep walking. It's not finished. It's not a finished deal. Now, walking begins with one step. It's a series of steps. So therefore, the Christian life is a crisis that's followed by a process. You're in a crisis, you accept Jesus Christ, bang, you step in, and maybe there's a process. God begins to work in your life, as we talked about last week. And I say it begins with that step not the end. Look at verse 6 again. Just as you what? Receive the Lord, continue in living in Him. Continue. Now, how did you receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you received Him by repentance and faith. The same way that you got in is the same way you walk. And here's what people forget. What does repentance mean? It means to turn around and go away from yourself. Now, it means a lot more than that, but just a simplified understanding, repentance is to turn away from, to walk away from you and your stuff and what you think is right and what you ought to do, and to actually stepping in towards God. What is faith? Faith is turning to Jesus. That's basically the simplest definition you can give. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. You don't see it, you don't understand it, you turn to Jesus and you trust in Him. Now you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I turn from myself, repentance, faith, I turn, walk with Jesus. Now the way you live the Christian life is how you begin the Christian life. Now let me say this, because so many people forget. I know this is simple. When you get saved, you're not saved if you didn't repent. And you're not saved if you don't have faith in Jesus Christ. But once you get saved and you say, okay, I repented, I'm saved, I have Jesus Christ, and then all of a sudden, well, now I have it, now I can just kind of do whatever I need to do or want to do. No, you can't. Remember where the boundary is. He set the boundary. The Holy Spirit of God will keep revealing more and more to you. I'll never forget, when I first got saved, I didn't know very much. I still don't know a lot. I still have an awful long way to go, and I can tell you that even yesterday in my praying, I remember even praying the prayer, faith and repentance. If there's anything I'm unaware of, God, I repent of it. I ask you to help me. And the Holy Spirit of God will keep revealing to you more and more. See, that's why Paul says the knowledge of God, the treasures of God, the wisdom of God. You gain all of that as you walk in Him. You don't want to miss the treasure. You don't want to miss the riches. You don't want to miss God's very best, His very best for our life. So many Christians are living under the very best that God has for them. And so the Holy Spirit of God is constantly revealing to you your personal bankruptcy. Yes, you're bankrupt without God. You're bankrupt. And my flesh is no good. The Bible says there's no good thing in my flesh. And the great riches of the Lord Jesus Christ is always there. Now, some people talk about, well, you know, one day I took a stand for the Lord Jesus. Years ago, bless God, hallelujah. I just had a great, glorious experience with God. I remember the good old days when our church services were, oh, hallelujah, bless God. Everybody, oh, get over it. Get over it. Part of the reason why we don't have services what we had before is because we're not walking with God. Hello? Let me get just down to earth. Let me get firm. Listen. Too many people are saying to themselves, you know, my relationship was so excited. I would just love the Lord with all my heart. And I would say, everybody in this room probably loves the Lord with all their heart. Yeah, I'm sure you love the Lord. But I'm here to tell you sometimes we lose our fire. We get stuck thinking about what it used to be like or what we want it to be like. Or we get stuck thinking somehow, some way, you know, when I have time. Well, if He's living in us, you would think it would demonstrate desire. If God's truly living in me, you would think I would have a hunger and a thirst and a desire for more of Him. But oh no, just let me get by. I'm okay. I just don't want to know anymore. I don't want to get any richer or stronger. I just don't want to know all the treasures that God has for me. Ask a person to come up front. Well, I'm not going to do that. That's my note I made. I'm going to demonstrate it. How do you take that step? One step at a time. Now, in order for me to take another step, I could just stand right here. I got to lift my other foot. Now, I could stand here for what? 2 minutes? 3 minutes? 4, 5? 10 minutes? How about 10 years? Would you like me to just stand up here until about 12 o'clock, 12:05 or so? I'll promise I'll try not to fall. One step. But I got to pick up the other step, and I got to put it forward. And I got to keep it in motion. Another step. And here's what people have done. They've taken a step, and they stall out. And they don't continue the motion. They just stall out. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I wonder why I'm getting so tired and so weary and so frustrated. Why isn't God doing anything in my life? What's wrong? What's going on? Well, I'm losing my balance. Because it's a continual walk in the Lord. Somebody say amen. It isn't just faith, praise God. Well, a little tired of just that faith. I need to repent. Okay, God, now you got me here. It's a continual walk of faith and repentance to Jesus Christ. It's ongoing year after year, day after day. A walk is a series of steps. And if you want to take a step, that's all you are, left off balance. Too many Christians have not followed through with their experience of who Jesus Christ is in their life. He says, continue to walk in me. Continue to live in me. Wow. A series of steps. Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith within the boundaries. It doesn't mean when you walk in Christ that you're sinless and perfect. Oh my goodness. That would throw us all out of here. The Lord's going to reveal to you some things that are wrong as you repent. Whoever claims to live in him must walk in Jesus as Jesus did. 1 John 2:6. Now, if you claim to live in Jesus and walk as he walked, you know how it's going to show? People are going to see Jesus Christ in you. I ask myself, does my wife see changes? Does my family see changes? Does my church? Do those I work with, do they know I walk with the Lord? As you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. It's so simple, but yet so profound. We see here in this verse the boundaries, the beginning, and the balance. If you want God's very best for your life, you must have all three of them in your walk with the Lord. I must have all three. Will you say, Lord Jesus, I don't want to miss the best. I don't want the devil to sweet talk me into coming or going out of bounds. I believe there is nothing that this world and the flesh and the devil can offer you that's even worth comparing to. And if you have been walking outside, maybe so long you can't even hear the referee's whistle. You don't even know where it is. I'm here with good news today that if you repent and you have faith in Jesus Christ, he will tune you into his spirit and you will hear the whistle blow and you will know his voice, and his voice will help you stay in bounds and to keep stepping in Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior, and he will give you the grace and strength you need to work through whatever it is that you need to work through. The power of God is ours. Why don't you just say, Lord Jesus, I want to come back to you with a fresh, brand new beginning. Coming to church isn't going to save you.
singing the songs that church isn't going to save you. Giving your tithe isn't going to save you. The only thing that's going to save us is Jesus Christ himself, his person. Father, we need you. God, this preacher needs you. I need your authority and your power in my life on a daily basis. I can't just receive you and hope that all is well without living for you, without living in you. And God, I pray for my brothers and sisters in the Lord that they too will say the same thing, that we can't live without you, that we must stay within your bounds, within your boundaries to protect us, to make provisions for us, and that we must be willing to take the steps that are necessary to keep us, Lord, faithful to you. And Lord, if we're losing, if we lose our enthusiasm, we lose our desire to serve you, God, help us to check our spirit. Show us, Lord, that we can grow old, but we don't have to stop working for you. We don't have to stop doing for you and blessing others because we're old. We can't just sit and hope it will all happen, that somehow people will find Jesus if we just sit and wait for your coming. Lord, help us to live in Jesus Christ. Continually step into Jesus Christ every day of our life. In Jesus' name. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, I just want to take a moment. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor John, you know what? I'm not even serving Jesus. I don't even know what it's like to actually let Jesus be Lord of my life because I haven't asked him into my heart. You say, Pastor John, my hand goes up and I'm asking for that God will save me, that I will repent and have faith in him. Is there anybody here that wants to do that? Before we go on with the service, everybody, I'm hoping and I'm praying that everybody here knows Jesus as Lord and Savior. Is there anyone? Let me just take the next step because I think almost every hand in this room will go up. And you don't need to raise your hand because we're about to sing a song. We're about to give ourselves to the Lord afresh and anew. And I am convinced today that every one of us, including me, have gone through times in our Christian experience where we have gone out of bounds and we need to be put back in. And that we need a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit, a fresh touch from God. I want that to be your prayer today. That God will help you and help me. I pray this for myself, that God will help me to have the balance that I need, that God will give me the boundaries and I will obey those boundaries, and that God will help me to do everything I can under his power to be the man of God he wants me to be. In Jesus' name, will you stand, please? Praise God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Here we are, God. We step into you, living for you.
Draw me close to you.
Praise God. Yes, Lord.
Never let me
go. Will you Christians make that your prayer?
I lay it all down again.
As we sing it, let's mean it. Let's mean it.
Hear you say that I'm your friend.
Yes, Lord.
You are my desire. me find the way. Lead me back to you.
Our prayer before we leave this house of worship today. Lord, we do not want these words to fall on deaf ears, but may they plant seeds in our hearts. Lord, may we recognize it. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would remind us of these words today. Lord, help us to wrestle with them. As Paul was struggling, that we would wrestle with these words and ask you, Lord, am I living in you? Am I living in you, Lord Jesus? Am I truly walking in you, God? Father, I pray that this would be the desire of our hearts as we draw closer to you. Thank you for your believers today. Thank you for their faithfulness to God's house today. Thank you, Lord, for them hearing your word. I pray, God, that I would make this personal in my life every day, that I would be a man of God that would be willing to repent and have faith in Jesus Christ. I walk in your presence and in your power. May you be praised by the life we live. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful afternoon.